Scripture reading for today comes from the Epistle of Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more holy than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ. And individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhorting, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness.
I think I'm well aware of the fact that talking about synod has the potential to be very dull. So I'll do my best. The first thing I thought I might do, and I put an insert in the bulletin, was to explain a little bit about what synod is, because a lot of folks hear the word and it doesn't connect with an image in their heads. So you see my little triangle there at the bottom. You know, there are about 5,400 UCC churches, which is only a middling number, you know, when you think of all the different denominations. But it's a lot. And when you think of the scripture from Romans, you know, of all the gifts that are potentially available in 5,400 churches, amazing things can happen. And local churches organize themselves into regional groups, associations. There are 6 associations in Michigan. We belong to the United Northern Association, which covers all the UCC churches from Clare to Houghton Hancock. There are 16. And from our association, there were 3 representatives at Synod, myself and Dan Furman, the pastor in Bensonia, and a fellow from Alpena. All told, there were 31 Michigan delegates at Synod. The associations then organized into conferences, generally along state lines, but not exclusively. Some states have more than one conference. Some conferences include more than one state. So it's just how it fits in terms of the number of churches and the distances. And the remaining piece of the UCC triangle, food pyramid, is General Synod, and it's a representative body that meets up till now every 2 years to do the business of the church, to elect officers and to discuss resolutions and make decisions about issues that affect us all. And over the course of the history of the church, you know, some really, really important decisions have been made about ordaining women, you know, about recognizing the rights of the LGBT community. You know, the UCC is always right out front with important social issues. The last thing I included in this little bit that I reproduced from the Constitution was about covenantal relationships, because sometimes churches have very different ways in which they're structured. You can have the bishop, and then you have everybody beneath the bishop, and then the bishops get together and so forth. And in that case, when a decision is made, it is incumbent upon all the local churches to follow that decision. But that's not true in the UCC. We listen to each other. We honor and respect the work of each other. And we consider the advice and counsel. So when Synod passes a resolution, it doesn't mean that every church is going to jump on that bandwagon and march to that step. Each church is still autonomous and decides for itself exactly how it's going to respond to the suggestions and the counsel from Synod. So going to Synod is an interesting process. When you're elected as a delegate, you're elected for two synods. So I was also the representative in Grand Rapids 2 years ago. And I have to say, Grand Rapids was a livelier synod than Tampa, Florida. I'm sure I'm totally objective about that. So that's what Synod is, all right? The delegates are selected by their associations and confirmed by the conference, voted on by the conference. And generally, you get selected to be a delegate if you have participated in the work of the larger church. I've been on the executive committee of the UNA for some time now, and that's how my name was submitted as a delegate. And it was an experience that I'm glad that I had the opportunity to participate in. When we were in Grand Rapids, the theme was immerse yourself. And so there was lots of water everywhere. If you got down to Grand Rapids, you saw that there was water even on the stage. They had pools, they had waterfalls, there was water. And of course, you were sitting right at the convention center in Grand Rapids, sits right on the river, so you know it was very appropriate. This time, the theme centered around sand. So there was sand on the stage, but it gave an entirely different dimension than water. And so I'll explain. First of all, the thematic scripture is from Isaiah 43:18-19. Cease to dwell on days gone by and to brood over past history. Here and now, I will do a new thing. This moment it will break forth from the bud. Can you not perceive it? I will make a way even through the wilderness and paths in the barren desert. So of course that works imperfectly with our theme of God is still speaking. I will make a new way. You can't really get a sense of the energy and diversity of the UCC until you participate in a synod. The spectrum of ideas is only matched by the energy of worship services. Worship involves lots of music, dance, preaching. You can't be present and be indifferent. Every session began with a speak out, an opportunity for individuals and groups to make their voices heard on many topics, again revealing the diversity of the UCC. Every day was L-O-N-G. Our mission delegation, all 31 of us, met each morning at 6:30 for a breakfast meeting, so that we could be done in time for the regular meeting, which started at 8:30, ran till 11:30, then 2 to 5, and 7:30 to 9:30. So they were busy days, and they were full of educational meetings. We had to learn the background about these resolutions we were supposed to discuss and vote on. So there was a great deal to cover in a short period of time. We were there from July 1st through the 5th. Were we in the land of sand and surf? You couldn't prove it by me. I was in two places, you know, the hotel and the convention center. Those of you who had a chance to attend some of the sessions in Grand Rapids, you know, might remember a very different atmosphere there. We had time to wander the community. It was a more energized, I think, synod. The very essence of the UCC is helping others. and a large truck outside the convention center was quickly filled with health kits for Church World Service, over 2,000 of them. We also heard of the tough conditions and poor wages paid to the Immokalee workers who picked tomatoes in Florida. These are the tomatoes that are available at all the major grocery stores. They are seeking fair wages, and those wage increases are being blocked by major buyers such as Myers. Synod delegates organized a march to the local chain buyer, it's called Publix, I think, to urge them to sign on to a small increase. Would you be willing to pay a penny more per pound for tomatoes if that improved workers' wages? That's all they're asking. But there's such competition, you know, among the grocery stores that they feel, you know, if I raise tomatoes by a penny a pound, you know, everybody will shop somewhere else. So it's a very hard adjustment to make. So it wasn't just the meetings, it was all these other activities going on as well. One of the things that I enjoyed most was the keynote address, which was given by columnist Leonard Pitts. Any of you read Leonard Pitts as faithfully as I do?
Yes.
He writes for the Miami Herald, but his column is syndicated and runs in the Detroit Free Press. I've been reading it for years, and I think I have a manila folder filled with aging and yellowed copies of his columns. He's a member of the UCC. The scriptural foundation for his address was Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Now, as God, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or conceive, by the power which is at work among us, to God be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus from generation to generation evermore. He opened by having photos taken by the Hubble telescope projected on giant screens around the convention center. How could anyone look at those expansive, beautiful images, recognize that they represent only a small corner of God's infinity, and not be overwhelmed by the concept of what's possible? Pitts recounted the accomplishment of crazy people like Gandhi and Cesar Chavez and Martin Luther King Jr., individuals not limited by the status quo, the practical, or the pragmatic. He noted that a sense of the possible resides in all of us, but we let our pragmatic side dominate our thinking, and we sheathe our hearts in chainmail. The courage to imagine is the beginning of change. Which reminded me that a couple of weeks ago, the Board of Trustees, right here, had a retreat. And Carol began the session by asking what we would like to accomplish as a church if money and size were not an object. She asked us to think big, to imagine the possibilities. And that's when the conversation among the Board of Trustees got very lively. Think big. So to the resolutions, the reason for us being there. There were some very important ones. I'm not going to explain all of them in great detail. But did you realize that the United States has never ratified the Comprehensive Nuclear Test Ban Treaty? There was something interesting on the radio the other night about the fact that a team had gone to South Africa and managed to steal out 14 pounds of nuclear material in order to get it out of the hands of crazy people. But what are we doing with it? We certainly don't need to build any more nuclear weapons. A covenant for church youth ministries was recommended. We have covenants for justice and witness. We have covenants for local churches. We have covenants for the wider church. But we want the youth to feel that they have a part. And so we're trying to form a church youth ministries. The right of LGBT parents to adopt and raise children. affirming health care coverage for ministers and their families. It's difficult to think that there are churches that aren't able to provide that for their clergy, and how critically important it is. And one after our own hearts, a resolution for mindful and faithful eating. Supporting international human rights related to sexual orientation and gender identity. We work very hard to make sure that those rights are observed here, not always with success, but throughout the world there are many places where people are not safe. I was part of a group that was discussing the Democratic Republic of the Congo. There are trace minerals that are only found in the Congo that are used in every single cell phone. So we are all benefiting from the resources that come from the Congo. We are all benefiting. The people who dig up, who mine those minerals, are not benefiting at all. They are being treated abysmally. It reminded me of the description of the natives of the Congo described in The Heart of Darkness. It isn't much better, and this is 150 years later. It's all being taken by the international corporations who make tremendous profits from those trace minerals. We need to be mindful of that. One of the most interesting resolutions that came before us was a common agreement on mutual recognition of baptism. I don't know how many of you are aware of the fact that some churches don't recognize other churches' baptisms. Some of us are very aware of that. But for a number of years, a group including the Roman Catholic Church and various Lutheran churches and the Episcopal Church and Presbyterian and UCC have been working diligently to get to a place where they could agree that they would recognize one another's baptisms. And they got there. So that was a big leap. And we had to consider some changes to the very constitution that I was quoting from earlier. The national church is facing the same problem that local churches are facing. Budgets are shrinking. We have to reduce sizes of staff. And we've gotten to a point where the staff that administers all these resolutions and makes the website possible and all the communication and so forth, the actual staff has shrunk, but the oversight committees, which supposedly review the work of the staff, have not shrunk, so that the committees are now bigger than the staff. And they guard their territory, you know, closely, as we all do. But the time has come when we have to give up these large committees, because every time they meet, all of those committee members have to be transported to Cleveland and housed. And so it's very expensive. So one of the main votes had to do with shrinking these oversight committees from 3 to 1, combining them all into one oversight committee. That means giving up turf by a lot of people. It's a delicate maneuver. So that it's more economical and hopefully more efficient. And with lots of discussion, that too passed. Even having synod every 2 years is a very expensive proposition. You get 3,000 or 4,000 people, and you house them, and you put them in a convention center, you know, and provide buses and all the rest, and it adds up. So the remaining item on the agenda was to consider stretching out the time between synods. But it was written in a rather vague way, that synod will be either every 3rd or 4th year. Well, folks didn't like that either or kind of thing. You know, what's it going to be, 3 or 4? So that didn't pass. So that will have to come up at the next synod, which is going to be in Long Beach, California in 2 years. So it was a fascinating process. You know, one that I have enjoyed twice now, and I urge you, if you have the opportunity, you know, to get involved in the work of the church so that you too may have the chance to attend a synod and be part of the working of the church. And that's why I picked Romans for today. Adapt yourselves no longer to the pattern of this present world, but let your minds be remade and your whole nature thus transformed. Then you will be able to discern the will of God and know what is good. Thank you.